In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. Earlier in the Epiphany season, we heard the Gospel of Nathanael being called by Jesus. On that sermon, I said there are three aspects to call. First, we must be open to call. Secondly, willing to take a risk. And thirdly, we must be willing to let go of control of the outcome. Today, we've heard another reading about call, the call of Samuel. And I want to focus on two other words that are integral to following a call: discernment and obedience. In the story we just heard, Samuel has no idea of what he's hearing. He confuses God's call with that of his teacher Eli. Samuel gets up at night, wakes Eli, and says, "Here I am, you called me." Eli says, "I didn't call you." It happens a second time, and Eli says, "If you hear the voice a third time, say this, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" Samuel hears the call a third time and responds as he was directed. This part of call is about discernment. Samuel needed help figuring out what was going on. He did not know what he was hearing. He needed others to discern the situation. Because Samuel trusted Eli, he was obedient and did as he was directed. We all need help in life to figure out what's going on. We hear something, we encounter a situation. We have an idea of what to do, yet we need someone else to affirm, challenge, question, and interpret the situation for us to help us gain clarity. This is the process of discernment. Discernment is not done in solitude. It is not that I have an idea and move forward alone. Discernment requires others. It requires community. There's an image on the cover of a book called Listening Hearts, which captures this process perfectly. It is the picture of water after a pebble has been tossed into it. You see the water rippling outward into ever greater circles from where the stone enters the water. Discerning a call, whether it is marriage or a divorce or a career change or having children or any life decision, requires community. It begins with an idea of a perceived call, like throwing a stone in the water, but quickly it involves others. First, those in our most intimate relationships, family and friends, then rippling out to larger communities, neighbors, co-workers, folks in our faith community, to even wider circles of people who may not know us but have valuable insight to help us see more clearly the long-term implications, both the promise and the cost of the call. There is a point at which discernment moves from knowledge and interpretation to its true goal: action. Discernment leads to action. Without action, discernment is hollow. What is critical in the move from contemplation and interpretation to action is a word that is not very popular these days, and that word is obedience. The word obedience has its root in a Latin word, obedire, which means to listen. The deeper resonance of obedience lies in listening, truly listening to one another and the voice of God, which guides and nurtures us. Action is based on deep listening, being obedient to where discernment takes us. Earlier this week at my clergy breakfast group, one colleague talked about the two miracles of Pentecost. We often think of the one miracle of the disciples speaking in multiple languages, but the second is equally as important. It's that the Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites and the others present at Pentecost could hear the good news in their own language. Sometimes we get so caught up in speaking, we forget the importance of listening. Obedience is first and foremost a holy process of listening that is essential in any call or life decision. In his book, Hearing God's Call, Ways of Discernment for Laity and Clergy, Ben Johnson writes, "The final aim of discernment is not information or knowledge, but action. Too frequently, sincere people confuse information about God's calling or knowledge of the ways of God's working with the task of discernment. While it is true that both information and knowledge play essential roles in discernment, the final aim of discernment is obedience to God, making the intention of God concrete. In many ways, this point seems too obvious to elaborate, but many serious disciples get stuck in the discernment process and never proceed to action. So the process of discernment of what we are called to do is a constant dance between reflection and action. We hear, we invite others to join us in discerning. We choose to be obedient and take a step to act and continue action through ongoing deep listening. This is why, for example, the process to become an ordained priest is so elaborate. It begins with hearing something, taking the first step of acknowledging that voice for oneself. It then moves to initial conversations with family, with other clergy, with a bishop, followed by discernment of a local community in the parish. It then moves to a wider group of individuals within the community of the diocese, tasked with helping discern the call. It gets wider as the bishop may or may not invite the individual to study for ordination. If it leads to a call to study, a wider circle of professors, mentors, and peers engage in the process of reflection and action. Ultimately, it may lead to ordination, which itself is not the end, merely one step in an ongoing process of call each and every day. In my case, I entered this process 3 times because I am a very slow learner. The first time was when I was 17 years old in the Roman Catholic Church. And through this widening process of discernment in the 1970s, I realized this was not God's call for me to do at this time. So I left in 1979, realizing I was not given the gift of celibacy. 18 years later, in 1997, I heard this call again, this time as an Episcopalian, and I entered a process to consider ordination in Washington, D.C. And as the process widened out, it appeared I was going to be called to seminary. But in my final interview with both bishops, they discerned not to call me to ordination, but rather for a time in lay ministry. I did lay ministry as a chaplain for a few years, and I've shared with you before, and the discernment for ordination again came in the form of many elderly people who kept inviting me to stand in the place as pastor for them. The call of ordination reawakened, but this time it was deeper than the previous two. This time I had a glimpse of what life might be like as an ordained person, and we moved to Connecticut. My pastor in Storrs at the time asked me, "What is the primary obstacle you're facing before you go before the bishops and the Commission on Ministry?" I said, "I guess it's the fact that in Washington I was rejected for ordination." So I called Bishop Jane Dixon and explained what I was doing in Connecticut. I told her the discernment that she and Bishop Haynes made for me in 1998 was the correct discernment to be a lay chaplain. And I asked, "How many people have come back to you and said the fact that you were not called for ordination was your right call?" She said, "Exactly 2, you and one other person." But I needed that time as a lay chaplain to truly discern my call. She said she would write a letter to Bishop Smith on my behalf and explain my faith journey. She wrote, "My dear brother Andrew." I thought that was a good start. She explained that I went through the process in D.C. and was obedient to her discernment to be in lay ministry for a time, and there was nothing now that she saw as a problem moving forward with ordination. I tell my story to illustrate the process of discernment, a process that applies to all of us, regardless of our station in life. This process is fundamental for each of us. I would say that half the time I spend with people is to help them challenge and affirm a feeling that they have and something they feel discerned to do and to take action steps for decisions they know they should make in their hearts. My role as priest is often to be one of those circles that radiates out from a person who tosses a pebble in the water of life. We all play that role to one extent or another with those close to us, but also with those we may not know very well, who need our insights for their journey. Today, we are inviting Jason Murray to begin a new journey in his life. His baptism this day will mark the beginning of a path of discernment into the faith and life of the Christian community in a formal way. His parents, Jeff and Cindy, have brought him to this day to welcome him into the body of Christ in a very specific context, as the newest member of the parish family of St. Peter's Church in Hebron. It is here that he has already and will continue to experience this dimension of God's life in community. As he grows, he will be watching me and he will be watching each of you to see how you reflect the love of God in this place. It is here in the presence of his family and this community that he will learn what God's love really means and how to live it out each day. How he experiences that love will set him on a lifelong path of how he will see God and continue to live a life of discernment and obedience to God's call in his life. What we do this day, then, is not something to be taken lightly by any of us. We will be the people he will look to for inspiration and guidance. He will turn to his family and to us to discern what is happening in his life and where he is being called. Like Samuel, who needed insights of Eli to help discern what was happening, you and I serve as agents of discernment for those in our lives. We're called to be agents of discernment and engage in discernment ourselves, a process of action and obedience, a deeper listening, truly listening to one another and to the voice of God which guides and nurtures us. And this day, we invite Jason Murray into a life of discernment, obedience, and action. May all of us be worthy of our call to discern what God would have us do and the courage to take the action to do it. Amen.